Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. You are about to hear a Kingdom Living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and His Kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today, I want us to look at the subject of corrective love. We have done 3 sessions on the benefits of the kingdom love, the love that belongs to the kingdom which God brought to us through Jesus Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, because it's an alien love. It's a type of love that is not doesn't belong to humans. It belongs to the heavenly kingdom. And as kingdom people, we should walk in that kind of love. Now, today we want to look at a dimension of that love. We call it corrective love. Corrective love. Corrective love is the love that God has that corrects our situations. Situations that we have created by our faults, which are not right, you know. By His corrective love, He steps into it and then He corrects the wrongs in our situations. It is also by corrective love that God corrects us when we go wrong. Because as His children, we are not perfect beings. We go wrong, and God corrects us when we go wrong. So what we want to do is to further explore the first impression of love that God gave about Himself to mankind in the beginning of human life on earth. So we are really going to, in this series of teachings, you know, I'm going to do three series of teaching on the corrective love. In this series, we are going to see that the devil has misrepresented to mankind over the years that God is angry, God is wicked, you know, God is quick to judge or quick to curse. You know, we are going to go through the scriptures to refute all of these things. And we are going to look at the beginning of man's stay on this earth. Go all the way to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then we would examine the curse God placed upon the devil. Then over the earth, you know, which the devil had power over. You know, the devil had taken power over the earth. At the time, God, as it were, cursed the earth for the sake of man. And then we will look at the words that God spoke over the woman, you know, specifically that the woman will be in pain in childbirth and will be reduced to deputy headship at home, you know. I want us to understand that God never cursed man. God never cursed the male. God never cursed the female. Hallelujah. God cursed the devil, and He cursed the earth for the sake of man. He didn't curse Adam. He didn't curse Eve. He spoke some words over them, which the devil has over the years misrepresented to us as showing that God is angry. You know, that God is quick to curse. Can you imagine that? How will you think about God? What image will you have about God if you go with the devil's wrong concepts about God, that He is quick to curse? He said, I don't eat a tree, in the day that you eat it, you will die. And then man ate it, and God came upon the scene, and people say that He cursed man. I mean, how will God do that? What impression, what bad impression you have about God? You know, as somebody who is quick to curse, will you do that? Evil as we are, in other words, human as we are, will you do that to your child? Your child disobeys you just once. Can we all say once? He has been obeying you, are disobeyed once, and then you curse. No, God didn't curse. He didn't say, in the day you eat this fruit, I will curse you. Did He say that? No, He didn't say that. So why do we think that God cursed man and God cursed the woman? He didn't curse them. He cursed the devil. He cursed the earth for the sake of man. But all of these things we are going to see from the Bible that they are really things that God did in love for mankind. He cast the devil in love for mankind. He cast the earth in love for mankind. He spoke some words over Adam to correct a wrong situation that he had introduced. He spoke words over the woman to correct a wrong situation that the woman had brought upon herself and upon the earth. They are all a show of the corrective love of God that he has towards mankind. Hallelujah. And the Lord opened my eyes to this when he took me to the Holy Land, and he opened my eyes to see that, contrary to what has been preached over the years, what traditionally is understood over the years, he did everything that he did in love for mankind. Not because he is angry at mankind, because he is quick to judge. No, he is not like that. God is not quick to judge at all. So we are going to see what God revealed to me in Galilee. And the first thing I did really when I came to Ghana was to put it down in writing, because it's very important that whatever thing God shows you, you write it down. Hallelujah. And since writing this down, I haven't really thought about the thing. This is almost 4 years now. I was in Israel in 2015, learning in 2015 in Israel, you see. But this is the first time I am really going to take my time and show you from the Word of God that God displays corrective love to mankind. He is such a loving God, and he does it to establish his kingdom. He does it to bring about his rule. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So I want us to read a scripture from the book of Proverbs chapter 20, and then we will take off. Today we will look at the curse on the devil as an act of love to mankind. So Proverbs chapter 20, and then we will read from verse 28. Proverbs 20, 28, right down to 30. The Bible says, mercy and truth preserve the king. Please underline mercy and truth. It preserves the king. When you hear about mercy and truth, what should come into your mind quickly is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 that God filled Jesus with grace and truth. Hallelujah. He came on earth filled with grace and truth. This is what is mentioned here. Mercy and truth preserves the king. This mercy and truth is who? Jesus. He brings about the rulership of God into your life. That is why, in order for God to maintain his rule on earth, to maintain his rule in your life, he is going to show you what? Grace, and he's going to show you the truth. Because there is a lot of misrepresentation, a lot of lie about the person of God. And Paul's ministry really was to preach repentance towards God. Repentance in the Greek, metanoia, means a change of mind. He was telling people, according to Acts 20:20, that they should have a change of mind towards God, and then faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a summary of Paul's ministry. The summary of the New Testament, which 3/4 of which was written by the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine why God will let Apostle Paul preach or write 3/4 of the New Testament? I dare to say it is because the understanding he had about God was the understanding that God wanted to pervade in our lives. So you write more. You've got it. You've got the truth. I want you to go and preach to them that they should change their mind about God. Because over the years, God has been painted in a certain manner. He has been painted so dark, so wicked, so quick and to judge, so vindictive. And his love has been relegated to the background. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ came to show us the God of love. And the Apostle Paul wanted people to change their minds about God. Let's go back to our opening scripture. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. That means that in order for God to be in charge on this earth, so to speak, in order for mankind to be in charge of this earth on the behalf of God, God has to show to man mercy, not judgment. God has to be merciful. Mercy means that you deserve something because of a bad thing that you did, but you do not get the consequences of your bad action because of mercy. Hallelujah. So he says that it is mercy and truth that will preserve the king. This understanding is important for us as a foundation to understanding God's corrective love and getting the right picture about God right from the beginning. Because the devil is a liar. He has been misrepresenting God, just as some people can misrepresent you to some other people, that you are insolent, that you are not respectful, that you have a bad mind for doing something. Meanwhile, you know that it was with a good mind. It was to enhance the system. It was to help the system. It was to help somebody that you took a particular action or you have a particular stance. And imagine that the devil can misrepresent this good intention, this love act of yours, in a different way to people. For them to think that you are bad, you are disloyal, you are not consistent, you are something. And you hear about it and say, wow, is that what they think about me? No, I never meant it like that. It was the devil who took the same situation, twisted it, and misrepresented it unto the people. Just to create fear and panic. Just to create confusion. As if hell has broken loose. But if we have the truth, if we have a correct picture about the person, in this case, about the Lord, our God, then we are going to be at rest, be at peace, and we will see God glorified among us. So he says that by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. Hallelujah. His rulership, his kingdom. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of grace. Abundance of grace makes us to rule as kings in life. Abundance of love that Jesus was filled with to come and show us the right picture about God, which we didn't get from Noah and Abraham and Moses and those people. Jesus Christ was commissioned by God. You are my express image. Go and show them who I really am. Go and show humanity. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Look at verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. Wonderful. The glory of young men is their strength. This will make you to understand something, that God did not diminish mankind in the way that we think he diminished us right in the beginning. Because he knows that the glory of Adam is his strength. Talking about physical strength. He knew it. So he didn't. He put the curse on what? The earth. For man's sake. Because of what? Mercy and truth. Upholding his rule. His kingdom era on this earth. Let's move on. And the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Can you imagine that? Let me show you something. Because of the fall of man, God didn't ever intend for man to grow old and to die. No, that was not God's intention. But in mercy, God will always come. And although growing old is a result of sin and the fall of man, God looks at it and God takes a splendor or a glory from it. He says that the glory of old men is their what? Gray hair. Hallelujah. He wants us to get a certain picture, ladies and gentlemen, which we will get at the end of the series of teachings that I'm going to be doing. Now, verse 30 says, blows that hurt cleanse away evil. Blows that hurt. What does it do? It cleanses what? Sins, eh? It cleanses evil. All right. As do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Stripes, it means when you are being lashed, it cleanses the inner of innards. Yes. Look at it. It says that it cleanses what? It cleanses the inner depths of the heart. Look at the heart. The inner depths of the heart. The heart is inside already, but the inside of the inside is cleansed by what? Stripes. This is the corrective love of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm introducing to us, because in the course of it, you will see certain things that may seem to you like God is lashing us. But do you know what he's really doing? He's cleansing the inner depths of our heart.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. So that what? So that you understand that in God training you as a child, just as humans train their children, God wants it for our righteousness, for our good, for our peace, for us to do well and not to harm us, destroy us, and wipe us away from the earth. That is not the mind of God. Hallelujah. Now, today we want to examine the curse on Satan, and it is in Genesis chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. Genesis chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. It says what? It says, because you have done this thing, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. Please underline, on your belly you shall go. And you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Hallelujah. This is the curse of God on the serpent, or if you like, Satan, when he got man to fall. When he got man to fall. Now, I want you to go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to show you that really the mind of the devil in getting mankind to fall was to take mankind's mind from the kingdom system of God. The reason is for the devil to disturb God's intention of making this earth an extension of his rule, where man is indirectly ruling on behalf of God and in the interest of God. I want us to see from the Bible that that was the intention of the devil all along. So go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, and I want to show you something from there. It's in a little word that we call Lord. L-O-R-D. Now, follow me carefully, because I'm going to take you through the whole book of Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3 or so. Good. So look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. God is Elohim. He's talking about God who is powerful. He had powerful creation. All right? So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Please underline God. You read on all throughout the book of Genesis chapter 1. God is called God. G-O-D. Throughout. So, look at verse 2. You see God in that verse. Verse 3, you see God. Verse 4, you see God. All throughout Genesis chapter 1, you see that it is God, 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 God. Good. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, man was created. When man was created, we see that the way that God was referred to changed. The way that God was referred to changed. He was not called God. He was called the Lord God. The reason is simple. Because human beings had come to come and rule on his behalf. Human beings had come to rule on his behalf. So it was important for God, the creator, to have a certain relationship with God, or with man, rather, who is supposed to rule on his behalf. So the relationship between God and then man is described in that other title given to God, Lord, L-O-R-D. A Lord means that somebody who is in charge. A Lord is like a king. He is the one who is the owner. He is the one who is in charge. He is the one who is in control. So before man was created, it was God, 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 God. After man was created, in Genesis chapter 2, you see from verse number 4 that this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God. So now another title has been added to God the Creator. It's called Lord, which means that he is a king. He is the one who must control. He should be the Lord of the earth. All right, of course, through mankind. So look at verse 5, Genesis chapter 2 this time, verse 5. You see the Lord God. Verse 7, you see the Lord God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord God. 9, Lord God. Look at verse 15, then the Lord God. Verse 18, and the Lord God. Verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord God. Verse 21, and the Lord God. Verse 22, Lord God. Okay, so you see that contrary to verse chapter 1, in chapter 2, the kingdom system is introduced on the earth for the first time. And so God is referred to as a king, as a Lord, as the one who is in charge of the earth through mankind. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, we come across the Lord God. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. All right, so you see the Lord God. Now look at from verse 1b, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God, and please underline God. Do you know what is happening? In chapter 2, God introduces himself as a king. He introduced, in other words, his kingdom system to the earth. Now in chapter 3, the devil wants to take man back to jump chapter 2 and take man back to chapter what? 1, where we see God, 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 God. Chapter 2, we see Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. But in chapter 3, the devil, it's only when the devil is speaking that he doesn't like the kingdom system. And so he refers to God as God, just God, no Lord. He was, in other words, telling Eve that he is not to be your Lord. Do you understand? He is just your God. Now the devil is trying to misrepresent God here. He is trying to give a certain picture about God, which is not correct. Is that right? So look at verse 1b. And the devil said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. This is Eve talking. Now Eve is talking like the devil. The devil says that, has God said you should not? He didn't say, has the Lord God. He said, has God? And Eve buys into the lie of the devil. So you see that Eve is getting the deception. So Eve says that, no, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Look at verse 4. No, verse 5. The devil is speaking again. And he says that, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. You shall be like God, knowing good and evil. So in the devil speaking to Eve, we see from Genesis 3, verse 1, and then verse 3, and then verse 5, that the word God, the name God, is used four times. But it's wonderful because right from the time of the deception, so Eve buys into the deception, and then she takes the fruit and she eats it. Now the result of the eating it is in verse number 8. Verse number 8 says that, and they heard the sound of the Lord God. So you see that the Holy Spirit goes back to correct a certain wrong understanding, a way that the devil is suppressing the kingdom system by taking Lord from the name of God, and then he is restoring it. Holy Ghost is restoring it. So he says that, and they hear the sound of the Lord God. Look at the same verse. You will see another Lord God in the same verse. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord God, look at verse 13, and the Lord God, look at verse 14. So the Lord God, on and on, verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God. Look at verse 23 of Genesis chapter 3. Therefore, the Lord God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost comes back and he says, oh, no, the kingdom system must be established. And it is established by mercy and truth. Mercy and truth is going to preserve the throne of the king. And by loving kindness, his kingship is upheld. By loving kindness. Imagine love and kindness kissing each other, meeting together. It's a super, super, super love. Or super, super, super kindness. That is what is going to do what? Strengthen the throne or the rulership or the kingdom system of God upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost comes back and he tells them that he is the Lord God. He is the Lord God. He is not God as you were deceived to think. He is the Lord God. This is the devil's intention. His intention was to banish the kingdom system from the earth. His intention was to break down the rule of God on this earth. He should be in heaven. He wanted to come and take over the rule in this place. So he says he is not Lord. He is just God. He is just God. The Holy Ghost comes back and says that he is what? Lord. That is why the Bible clearly says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 or so. You can write it down when you go and check it. It says that nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Nobody can say that Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit has come. Wonderful. So I want you to get a certain understanding that it is the devil's desire that the kingdom system is minimized, it is enshrouded in darkness, that it is shunned by people, that Jesus is not the Lord of their lives. He can be a savior. Well, that's okay, but he should not be in charge of their lives. He should not be the Lord of their lives. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand, in the light of this background, I want you to understand the curse of God on Satan. His curse on Satan. Why did God curse Satan? It was in love to mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say things that if God doesn't show you, you dare not say it. You dare not say it. I told those of you in the beginning that God gave me this revelation when I was in the Holy Land. And the first book that I wrote when I came back was to write down what he has shown me. Now, the power of the devil that Adam, are you listening? The power of the devil that Adam and Eve, they experience is different from the power of the devil that you and I are experiencing now. I will say it again. The strength of the devil to destroy man that Adam and Eve experienced has been limited. It has been minimized to you and I. It has been minimized. You see, that is why you must not just sit down and say that, well, if Adam and Eve, they hadn't been deceived. Do you know what you are talking about? Even with the curse on the devil, you are in trouble sometimes. How much more at the time that there was no curse on him? In other words, his full power was in display. Because Adam and Eve saw the full power of the devil in display and they fell. And when they fell, God came upon the scene. And because he loves mankind and he doesn't want the, hallelujah. He doesn't want the devil to deceive mankind like that again. He comes and put a curse on the devil. So the devil that we know now is a cursed devil. Wow. He is not the original devil who tempted our first parents. In love for mankind, God had to come in his lordship and in his sovereignty. Sovereignty is where God as a king can come on his own to do what he likes, to establish his kingship, whether you pray for it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you have rights or not. He comes and he says, look, I'm the king. I'm in charge. This earth is for me. I am the owner. And because of that, I am putting a limitation on you. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.